The scripture for today is from the first chapter of Mark, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. This week, I decided to put up my Christmas decorations. My favorite Christmas decoration is a nativity set that belonged to my great-grandmother. I remember helping her set it up on her mantel place as a kid. As we set it up, she would tell me the story of Jesus' birth, of Mary and Joseph and their journey to Bethlehem, of a baby born in a stable full of hay, of angels leading the shepherds to Jesus, of shepherds worshiping him, of magi bringing him gifts. "This is the reason we celebrate Christmas," she would tell me every year, "not so that Santa would bring you presents, but to celebrate the birth of Jesus." This year, as I set up my grandma's nativity on my own mantel place, I was struck with a sense of gratitude for her patiently retelling the story to me year after year. I didn't know it at the time, but her storytelling prepared the way for me to come into my faith as an adult. This tradition of putting up the Christmas nativity together taught me how my story was woven into this larger story of God and human history. When she retold me this story, she would give me a new perspective on how everyday acts of faith can transform our lives. Our scripture passage for today, these opening verses of Mark's gospel, help us to imagine how faith can transform our everyday lives. I'm sure you've noticed that Mark's gospel does not begin in the way that the other gospels do. There's no genealogy of Jesus the way that there is in Matthew. There's no orderly account of the life and ministry of Jesus like you'll find in Luke. We don't get this great theological discourse of the divinity of Jesus the way that we do in John's gospel. Instead, we begin by looking backwards to the words of the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 40, Isaiah proclaims, "I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for him.'" What Mark is doing here is he is situating John the Baptist as being part of this larger prophetic tradition that began with Isaiah. Isaiah prophesies that the Messiah is coming. But first, God needs men like John the Baptist to prepare the people for his arrival. These preparers of the way will be like a voice of one calling in the wilderness. This voice proclaims that God is coming, whether God's people are ready or not. They better prepare the way for the Lord. Thankfully for us, John answers God's call to be a voice of one crying in the wilderness. But John is able to do this because he has a clear sense of what God is asking him to do. God is asking him to fulfill Isaiah's prophecy and show the people that a messenger is coming, to proclaim that the Messiah is here. John is to preach a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And John is to prepare the way for Jesus by baptizing the people with water. Mark, though, is very clear that while John fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah, John is not the Messiah. See, this is the tricky thing about preparers of the way. They announce what is coming, but they are not the one that the people have been waiting for. John's mission is to get the people ready for Jesus. John gathers the people together. He encourages them to confess and repent of their sins. He baptizes them in the river Jordan. But John can't save the people from their sins. Only the Messiah, Jesus Christ, can do that. John is the preparer of the way, but Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. This week, I've been reflecting on this idea of preparers of the way, and how the life of discipleship is really a life of preparing the way for others to have an encounter with God. Preparers of the way are usually the ones who are working behind the scenes. They are the ones retelling the Christmas story to their bored grandkids. They're the ones who get to the church early and make sure that the lights are on and the doors are unlocked. You'll often find them shoveling the church sidewalks on snowy Sunday mornings so that nobody accidentally slips and falls on their way to worship. I've seen a few of them this past week in Zoom meetings as I watch them mentor the next generation of church leaders. Friends, I think the best way that we can honor the preparers of the way in our own lives is to take the lessons that they've taught us and apply them to our leg of the journey. To take the nativity sets that our grandparents left us and use them as a tool to teach our children the story of Jesus anew. Knowing that we're probably not going to tell it as well as our grandparents did. We may get some of the details wrong. We may accidentally forget to put Jesus in the manger. But that's okay, because we honor the legacy of those who came before us by being faithful, not perfect. Friends, my prayer for us as we enter into the second week of Advent is for God to give us new eyes to see the preparers of the way in our midst, and also new hearts to carry on their work for the generations that are to come. One way that we honor the work of preparers of the way are through traditions. Traditions are the practices that ground us in who we are, but also in who we aspire to be. They can be as simple as the practice of setting up the family nativity, or they can be as complicated as organizing food drives for Thanksgiving or Christmas Eve worship services for Christmas. The point of a tradition is to help us reclaim an important part of our past so that we can look towards the future with fresh eyes. Traditions help us prepare the way for what is to come. This week, our text challenges us to imagine anew what Christmas traditions are available to us and to do our part to prepare the way so that others can encounter the living God this Advent. Maybe we can't go Christmas caroling door to door this year, but I've seen some of my friends on Facebook pool together either Apple Music or Spotify playlists that they're all listening to together so that they have the sense that they're listening to music together, even though they can't physically be together. Maybe we can't have large Christmas parties this year, but we can send out lots of Christmas cards and maybe take an extra minute to write something in them so that the people who have touched our lives this year know. However we adapt our Christmas traditions this year, I take great comfort in knowing that even in 2020, we are preparing to retell the same Christmas story. God is still going to become man and dwell among us. And the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus still alters the course of human history for all who encounter it. If Jesus is still the way and the truth and the life, then we can be flexible about how we encounter the one who is to come. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.